Today again, I want to look at some things on with God, all things are possible. We may go a little different direction than you imagine, but it'll be good. We'll talk about some things as we do that. All with God, all things are possible. Now, when you think about that, we've been looking at Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Incident where the rich man came to Jesus and talked about eternal life, and Jesus said, told him to sell everything. He didn't tell everybody that, but he told this man to sell everything and come follow me, and he wouldn't do it. And so Jesus said something about hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, and the disciples were a little bit surprised because every faithful person of God they knew had been a rich person, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all those people. And they were surprised, and Jesus said, well, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In one place he said it's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. I mean, it can be done, but it's hard on the camel, isn't it? So he said to them that, and they said, well, who then can be saved? And that's when he said this. What did he say? With men or with people, it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Are all things possible with God? Amen. Can God do anything? Well, some things he can't do. He can't lie. He can't answer a prayer that hasn't been prayed. He can't save a person that won't accept Christ. But you understand what Jesus meant. With God, all things are possible. When God's in it, great things can happen. Things that you think are impossible can actually happen. Even rich people getting saved. So I, from that, I put this next slide. Can you believe that God would visit earth, as a man? Is it possible? Think about that for a minute. God, earth, the earth and the world and the atmosphere that we know, the one who made all things. Isaiah said one time, to him, all the nations are like a drop in a bucket. All the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They're like dust on the scales. They don't weigh much compared to God. You mean that God would come and set up shop down here for a while? Would you like to know God? He's willing. He proved he's willing. Would you like to know God and walk with God and enjoy God's fellowship? He's willing. He's proved it. He came. Let's look at some of that. He came here. And he lived here. Now, it's Christmas season, and people are obviously thinking about the birth of Christ. But that birth wasn't the end of anything. That started the thing, right? In fact, the early church, as I read one time, they did not celebrate the birth of Christ that much. They celebrated his death, burial, and resurrection, right? Which we do every Sunday. Communion. Celebrate his life. Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at this for a minute. Would God really come to earth? And most Christians would say, well, yeah, he did. He can. But thinking about, pardon me, thinking about the implications of that are amazing. Philippians chapter 2. Paul writing to the Philippian church, Philippians chapter 2. And he says this, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm reading, that's on the screen there, but I'm going to be reading from New International. I'm not sure how different this is. If you New International says in Philippians 2, verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, is he having a problem with this congregation? They had a little bit of division going. And he said, in fact, chapter 2, verse 1, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, he said, have you been encouraged any by being united with Christ? If that's true, he said, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, do you have fellowship with the Spirit? If any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Paul said, make me happy. Just make me happy by getting along with each other and having the same purpose. I love this church family because right now we have the same purpose, don't we? We're heading the same direction. It's supposed to be that way, isn't it? Do nothing, verse 3, out of selfish ambition or vain or empty conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Some people say that's hard to do. Not without, well, without the help of the Spirit it is. But the Spirit will help you, won't He? He will help you. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, verse 3, or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests. It's okay to look to your own interests, right? Not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Verse 5, your attitude should be what? The same as Messiah. He describes that attitude. Who being in very nature God, or in the form of God, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. Was he equal with God? He and the Father, it may not be a good way to put it, but he and the Father made out of the same stuff. Divinity, divine. They're not the same, but they are one. You say, I have trouble understanding that. Good. Because that means it's beyond us. It's something you know by your spirit, not in your brain. See, in your brain, it's like, okay, I can't be here and be in Arizona at the same time. We're limited. Is God limited that way? No, He's not limited that way. Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. Huh? He was in the very nature, in the form of God, but He made Himself nothing. Paul is saying to the church, you do that. Why don't you imitate that? Empty yourself of your selfishness and self-pride and do something for somebody else. Put them above you once in a while and imitate Christ, because in the form of God, yet He emptied Himself. He came here, emptied Himself, made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. Has God been made into human likeness? Did He come and become a human? That's what it says. You believe the Bible, don't you? Okay. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient. He humbled Himself to His Father, humbled Himself to the mission, became obedient to death. We're supposed to serve Him to our... If it costs us our life, we're supposed to serve Him to the end, aren't we? Why? Because He did that. And He says, is the servant above the master? Is the student above the teacher? No. He came and emptied Himself. We're supposed to empty ourselves. He came and died for the cause. We have to die. We have to do that. Even death on a cross. The most embarrassing, the most humiliating death in their day was a cross. It was execution. It was capital punishment. It was excruciating. It was in public. And He humbled Himself to that. God did. God said, I'll give Myself for you. I give Myself up for you. I come here. I have a body. I give My body for you. Paul said, why don't you imitate that, church? Your grandma used to say, probably, get off your high horse, you know, and humble yourself and do like that. And that's what Paul said to this church. Verse 9, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place, gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, even under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus, Messiah, is Lord, to the glory of the Father. If they half pay attention to this, Paul just fixed their unity problem, didn't he? He just fixed it. The Spirit did. Is it possible that God became a man? is it possible that God would walk the earth as one of us, look through these eyeballs like what we have, listen with these ears like what we have, walk around on these legs, these feet, these hands, do the things we do, have to eat, have to rest, have to walk where he went, or ride a donkey, or maybe a cart once in a while? Did he experience human life? He cried at funerals. He assisted at weddings. He was betrayed by a close person known to him. Even all of his disciples, when he was crucified, they abandoned him. You ever feel abandoned, like people just don't care about you? If you say, Lord, I just feel like I don't have any friends, and I've been abandoned by everybody, and maybe my own family, even my own family, just... He would say, I know, dear. I've been there. I know, dear. I've been there. It hurts, doesn't it? Yes, sir, it hurts. Well, you come with me, and I'll help you. Come unto me, those of you who are burdened and heavily laden. You just sign on with me and I'll give you rest. I give you rest. You know, life around us is like a boiling ocean. And if you keep your mind in this world, you're never going to have rest. You know, it's going to be boiling all the time. He said, you come to me and I'll give you that inner peace. I'll give you that rest on the inside. He came here. Yeah, it's possible. Don't you think it's possible? I got another scripture up here for you. Colossians. That was Philippians. Colossians. And in Colossians chapter, we're going to be in chapter 1 to start with. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Talking about Messiah. Paul writing by the inspiration of the Spirit. Colossians 1:15, he, the Spirit, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Is God visible to us right now? No. In fact, the Bible says no man can see God and live. As long as you're in this present condition with this body, you can't see God without being vaporized, I guess. This says the invisible God became visible. Here I am. And what's amazing is Isaiah said there was nothing in him that we should desire him. Nothing in his appearance. Isaiah seems to be saying nothing in his appearance was all that impressive. He was a Jew. He was a Jewish rabbi. He was a carpenter, or some translations now say a contractor. Built houses. The invisible God showed up. Here I am. You want to talk to me? And he led them for 3.5 years, didn't he? He's the image, or the word icon. The Greek word's icon. You have icons on your computer? And the icons, what happens if you click the icon? A program opens up. There's so much more behind that little icon than meets the eye. When you touch your life to the life of Jesus, you find the divine one, the one who is God in flesh. Verse 16, Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We just read it at the communion in John chapter 1. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16 of Colossians 1. For by him all things were created. How much? All of it. Everything we know in the creation was made by him. All things were created. Things in heaven. Some of the things we're going to get to enjoy in heaven, he made some stuff for us there. He created some. I don't understand that. But heaven's a perfect place, but he still made arrangements. Didn't he say, I go to prepare a place for you? To the disciples, I'll come back and take you with me. Created things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. There are things we don't even see and can never see in our present condition that he made those. supernatural things, heavenly things. He made those. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. Not just by Him, for Him. He is before all things. He was before all things. Who? Who was before all things? Jesus. Before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. He's holding this thing together right now, isn't He? One passage says He holding it together by the power of His Word or the word of His power. Verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. There is no one higher than Jesus except the Father. No one more powerful. The Father gave Him all He needed to be our salvation. By Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and firstborn from among the dead. Well, He's the first one to come out of death and conquered death. There were some people in the Bible raised from the dead, but He's been raised from the dead, the Bible says, never to die again. He defeated death. He overcame it. Why? Because He took up our sin and He Himself had no sin. The devil didn't. The devil killed Jesus when Jesus didn't deserve to die. He killed an innocent man, and therefore the devil gave up his hold on the human race. That broke his hold on the human race. He's the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything He might have the supremacy. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. God what? Does all His fullness dwell in Jesus? And the Father, it's not like He's giving up something, the Father. He's happy. He's happy to do it. It pleased Him to say, I'll be with you. I'm giving you My fullness. Go down there among them and love on them and do what needs to be done. I'm behind you 100%. He was happy, pleased to give Jesus His fullness, that the fullness dwelt in Him. I know this is theology that has been debated for centuries and centuries and centuries, and I'm not worried about that, and I'm not concerned about that. What I'm saying is, this is your spirit life being fed. This is spirit. These are spiritual words, and you getting fed. Theologians can bat it around all they want to, but it's still true, and it's still in the Bible that Jesus did this for us. Verse 20, and through Him to reconcile, God through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. They needed to be reconciled too by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Oh, there's so much more. You can read the rest of Colossians. Go home and read it today. Get excited about God. If you're excited about something, you're learning something. You ever sit in a class at school you didn't like? I did. What happened? I got to go to class. I didn't understand half what she said. I don't like algebra anyway. But there were some students that couldn't wait to get to class. They're probably teaching math at some PhD level now. You know, they loved it. You get excited about these words and get excited about what God's doing in your life. You're learning and you're growing. You're getting there. We're all getting there, aren't we? Colossians chapter 1. Look at that one's on the screen. The next one on the screen is Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Christ, that's the Messiah, word Messiah, isn't it? For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. What? All the fullness. If you have a cup and you fill it up and fill it up and fill it up and it overflows, is it full? You say, well, I have all the fullness in this cup. It can take us overflowing. All the fullness in Christ, verse 9, all the fullness of the deity lives. Do you write in your Bible? I wrote in mine right here, all in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives now. Right now. In bodily form. Is his body still with him? He's still got his body. Where is it? In heaven. It's been raised from the dead. Glorified. To be fit to go in and out of heaven. All the fullness of God the Father, of the deity, lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ. Who's he talking to in verse 10? You. Who's that? That's us. Anybody that reads and believes the Bible, you have been given what? Fullness. Fullness in Christ. Same fullness he has, we have. Do you believe God is living in you? If you believe the Bible, you have to believe that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Several passages talk about that. The main one's where Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, and he prayed for that church to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner being. And it says it more than once in the Bible, in the New Testament, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. People who believe on Christ, accept Him, obey Him, walk with Him, filled with the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us. It's weird to be walking around this earth. One reason you have trouble understanding this broken world, why don't they just get it? Why don't they just come to church? Why don't they just read the Bible? Why don't they understand? Problem with that is you have Christ in you. And you're starting to see things the way He sees things. And you're starting to see things the way the Father sees things. And so the crazy world, you're starting to back away from it a little bit, I hope. And you're saying, that's not my destiny. I love those people out there. We're going to try to help them. But that's not my destiny. My destiny is beyond. My destiny is in Christ. He's in me. His Spirit is in me. And so this says, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form in Christ. And then he says, you have been given that too. You have been given fullness. In Christ, who is the head over every power and authority, in him you were circumcised, and the putting off of the flesh, not with the circumcision done by hands of men, but with circumcision done. In the Old Testament, they would circumcise the boys at eight days old as a sign of a covenant. The seed line was going to come through that, and there was a holy nation. And he said, we've been circumcised, but not that way. Have we been circumcised? When you got saved, when you became a believer and born again, that flesh got cut away. And now you have the Holy Spirit in you. He said that happened to us. Not the circumcision done by the hands of men, but the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. It goes on and on and on. If you read Colossians, it's exciting. Just read the rest of it sometime. We're running out of time here, but Colossians 1 verse 15 and chapter 2 verse 9 plainly say, God came to this little old broken down planet, got inside a human body, lived here 33 and a half years or so, and exhibited that, yes, God can live in a body, a human body, even a human body like ours. God can live in a human body. Jesus proved it. And now he says, I'm going to give you the right to become, that's John chapter 1, I'm going to give you the right to become children of God. Oh my goodness. If you think about this, see, this may be kind of new to you, and it might be hitting your brain. You're thinking, I don't know about that. Or you're hitting your brain, you're thinking, I don't get that. I don't understand how I could be indwelt by God. I'm such a terrible person. I'm such a bad, or I've had such a bad life. I've done things I shouldn't have done. But let your spirit open up. Let your heart open up to this. And as your spirit opens up, you start growing. Oh, one of the greatest frontiers you can pass in the Christian life is to get to the point where you have assurance. You say, I know by Christ, I know I'm going to heaven. I don't have any doubt. I know I'm a sinner. I was, but I've been saved. That's my old life. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. When I make mistakes, I talk to my Father about it, and He forgives me and gives me strength to move on and do better. Wow, you get to that point. And when you get to that point of saying, I know God loves me. Why did He make us? So He could love us. Did you know He made you? Let that sink in sometime. He made me. This body and whatever's inside this body, He made me. I didn't just accidentally show up here. Might have surprised your parents, but you didn't surprise God, right? He made you for His possession, as a precious prized possession of a family. How many people out there today are trying to start families? They want a family. Why? Because it's just in our nature. We want, for most people, it's kind of in their nature to say, I want people to love and people to love me. God is love. God is love. And so He's come here on this broken down planet. Somebody said, I'm not worried about aliens coming to Earth. I'm not worried about aliens coming to this planet. If they come by in a spaceship, they'll probably just roll their windows up and keep going. It's like, not there. Is this a broken place? Yeah, not all of it is, but a lot of it is. Did He come here? Did He come here despite the fact that it's a bad neighborhood? Did He come here despite the fact that we rejected Him? He was came to His own, John said in John chapter 1. He came to His own, they didn't receive Him. But they're the ones that did. He gave them the right to become children of God, meaning His siblings. We are His siblings. He's our older brother. You know, in the Old Testament, the firstborn, that firstborn kid, especially the males, firstborn men in the family, they got to take over when daddy died, right? So we have a firstborn brother. He's above us in rank, but He's our brother. Do you think God loves you? You don't seem convinced. Do you think God loves you? Think so? Okay. Did He prove it? He came here. He said, let me be one of you for a while. You ever heard stories of rulers in different countries over the centuries, and they would decide, I want to, maybe new to prince becomes king, and he's new to the thing, and he wants to get out and see the people, and he said, I'm going to go undercover for a while. Go undercover for a while and go see what my people live like, how they are. There was a show on TV for a while called, it may still be there, Undercover Boss, and the head of CEO of a big company would get in disguise and go meet among the people. Now, a lot of people caught on to it, but the ones that didn't, he got a good view, and some of them were shocked at what was going on in their company because they didn't see ground level. They're looking from 30,000 feet. They didn't see ground level. Did God put away His prerogatives as God and come down here in Christ? He did. Why would He do that? Why would He do that? Because He likes you. He made you. I never will forget that statement Max Lucado made. You know, Max Lucado said one time, I grew up in church, I always knew God loved me, but one day I found out He actually liked me. It's a little different, isn't it? It's like when you like somebody, you can love your enemies, you just don't want to be around them too much. They may be dangerous, but when you love somebody and you like them too, you want to spend time with them. Oh, you got to get a revelation of what a treasured possession you are to God. I'm not trying to puff you up as somebody that's done that on your own. You didn't do that on your own, did you? But you get to enjoy it. You get to enjoy it and live in it and enjoy it. Amazing. Hebrews chapter 1. Is that the next one? I think it is. Because we've got to wind it up. The one preacher said, I'm going to have to land this thing, you know, and see what we can do. Just quickly, Hebrews chapter 1. What I want you to see is the Bible is full of passages that say, yes, God became a man, walked as a human man, human being. Hebrews 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke. Don't you like it when God speaks? God spoke to our forefathers. He's writing as a Jew, writing to Jews about their Christianity, talking about his forefathers. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, and many times, various ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. He sent his own Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, inheritor, the one who inherits all. Everything is going to be summed up in Christ, and we get to be a part of that. He's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. That says it again. Did Jesus create all things? He did. Our older brother made this operation. All the universe. Everything that is in the visible world and everything that is in the invisible world, he says Christ created it. Verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Radiance of God's glory. If you have a child and that child grows up and they become the best known brain surgeon in the world, you'd be kind of proud of that, wouldn't you? Just say, let me tell you about my son, the doctor. You know, okay. Is the father happy with Jesus, his son? Is he proud? Does he say, he did a great job. Oh, he did what nobody else could do. So he's the radiance of God's glory, it says. There's probably a lot more to that, but that's a starting place. The exact representation of his being. That word is in Greek is character. Character like on your computer. The old typewriters I used to use had those metal characters, didn't they? And he had a... Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but they had a... Don't tell me you're that young, you know it. But ribbon, right? And the character would hit the paper. If you punched an A, the metal A would hit the paper and you got an A on the paper. So you type it. He says here, Christ is the character. When Jesus stamps something, it's God. Didn't he tell his disciples, if you've seen me, you might know a little bit about God. No, what did he say? If you've seen me, you've seen him. You've seen the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, verse 3, Hebrews 1, verse 3. The exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. We've heard that before, haven't we? He holds all things together. When Jesus, the Father says to Jesus, okay, Son, wrap it up. He wraps it up, the whole universe is gone, isn't it? And we've been caught up in the heavens and resurrection of the dead has happened and all that. But he's holding it together right now by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down. Why do you sit down? Because you're finished. You're done. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For which of the angels did God ever say, you're my son? That's a little note about the book of Hebrews. He's writing to Jewish people who had a history of worshiping angels in their former religion, and now they're saved and in Christ. And some of them are drifting back to Judaism because they're thinking, oh, I'd be more comfortable over there because I'm being persecuted. He said, no, hold on. You know what you're leaving if you go out of this and to that, back to that? Is there any angel that God ever told, come here, you're my son? No. But he says it to you. He said, but I'm a female. How can I be a son? Oh, you can be a son. In rank. Queen Elizabeth died not long ago, and I noticed all the people talking about all the women's rights issues and all that. I thought about Queen Elizabeth. She had as much power as any man has ever had in England, right? Or more, probably. So when we're all children of God, we just all have the same rank with God, don't we? So I want us to understand this, that yes, Christmas means a lot because God came. And according to one of the titles of Max Lucado's book, God Came Near. He didn't just come. He lived with us a while. And now because He's in heaven and made purification for our sins, His Spirit is in us, and He still lives in us. We still live with Him every day. Every day. Is that good news? Next slide. I like this slide. The greatest miracle. You know, people talk a lot about miracles. What's the greatest miracle? That God showed up here. People say, no, resurrection of the dead is the greatest miracle. No. Resurrection of the dead comes because He came here, right? I don't know any greater miracle than the Bible. I don't know any greater miracle you could talk about, except the greatest miracle, God showed up here on this planet as a man. God came here. People that take trips to Jerusalem and the Holy Land say sometimes they just get overwhelmed. They call it the Jerusalem syndrome. Christians from America go there and they can't stop weeping. What is that? Well, they're remembering He was here. He probably walked on this street. He was baptized into this river. We know a lady that came back recently from a trip over there and got baptized into Jordan River, and she posted on Facebook and said, I just got baptized in Jordan River. And she's got her hairs all wet, tears. He was here. He was, guess what? He's still here in us. He's still here in you. The last slide is our prayer over the notebook we're going to pray over. And I keep putting that scripture up. You may have people who you put in this book and you're not sure if they've responded yet. If you find out, let us know. There are some answers in the back of this book. For nothing is impossible with God. You may think some people you put in here, well, I don't think they'll ever come. No, just give it time. With God, all things are possible, right? With God, all things are possible. So their names are in here. We're praying for these individuals, and as we pray for them, some have not yet accepted Christ. Some have fallen away. But we continue to pray for them. So let's do it right now. Father, we are so grateful for the fact that You love the human race so much. You so loved the world that You gave Your only begotten Son. Stir us, Father, with this. Help us grow and understand. We ask that our spiritual growth increases. We ask that the individuals we have in this notebook, names, probably I think it's 30, 31 pages of names of these folks. We ask You, Father, to open their hearts, touch their hearts. We know You're more willing than we are to see this happen. So we thank You that you're doing it. But You need us to ask. You say in Your word, we don't have because we don't ask. You need us to ask. And so we're asking. Human beings need to be involved in their salvation, and we're asking. So thank You, Father, that we can count on hearing answers to these prayers in Christ's name. Amen.